83 in your book. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Oh, without him, life would be hopeless. Oh, but with Jesus, thank God I'm saved. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Know him this morning? Where would we be without Jesus? Let's go to the very next song there, 684. There's nothing, no nothing. There's nothing that my God can't do. Oh, there's nothing, no nothing. There is nothing that my God can't. My God can't do. Oh, Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do. That's the God we came to worship this morning. He's here. He wants to do abundantly above what we can think or ask. That's what He came for this morning. He's more willing to give to us. He's more willing to do for us than we are to receive it. But He's here to give out His blessings, give out salvation, fill people with the Holy Ghost, heal sick bodies. He's here to do it. We just have to believe. My father used to do refrigeration and air conditioning all my life. I traveled with him from house to house. Whenever he was passing away, I sat there and watched him. The thought came to me, on any refrigerator, on any freezer, on any freezer, on any air conditioner that my father ever picked up and wanted me to help on, he always took the heavy end. I can't remember him ever giving me the heavy end of the freezer or the air conditioner. Our God this morning, my earthly father would do that for me. Our heavenly father, he didn't give us the heavy part of the load. He said, all you have to do is believe. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And He will do what no other power can do. Just think about what you're singing. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't? Specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do. One more time as Brother Nathan comes. God, any river God, any mountains you just can't tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do.
Maybe He's speaking to your mountain this morning. Let's sing it again. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable? God, any mountains seems you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do.
Amen. Aren't you thankful to be serving a God like that this morning? God bless you. I just wanted to say thank you from my wife and her family, from me and the children, for all the prayers and the flowers during the passing of her grandmother. And I want to just ask that you'd remember some of the rest of the Wirtz family that are traveling home today. And I want to remember the Vaughn family as well. Sister Courtney's mother passed in a vehicle accident on Tuesday, and that funeral was Saturday, so just want to remember them during this time of loss. Little Chloe Stutzman, she's very sick with a fever. I want to remember her in prayer. And I believe Sister Astaire is supposed to have kidney surgery on Monday. I want to lift her up in prayer and just ask that the Lord would guide the doctor's hands. And then Sister Mayfield, she's in a lot of back pain. I want to remember her in prayer this morning. And my uncle from Delaware, Brother Jeff Bryant, he was in Vietnam, and they've been going back and forth with the VA about trying to get him a pension, and they came back and they are going to give him a pension, and he's just asking the church if they would pray that they would give him some back pay on that as well, and that he would be able to keep his job after receiving that. So I want to remember him in prayer for that situation. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each and every one. Let's just stand together, if you would, this morning. Brother Jimmy, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer with these requests?
We'll bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as entering into this little place of worship that you've given us, Father, I thought about the host of heaven, how that you encamp your angels about your little bride, Lord, and you watch over her. Father, you keep us safe. You watch over us. But Father, not only that, you come among us. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And Father, we've placed our request before you. And Father, in our hearts, we believe. But Lord, we ask you to manifest those requests, Lord, in a special way to each and every one, every hand that went up. And Father, we ask you to be in the continuance of this service, Lord. Move among your people, Lord. Meet every need, Lord. Let not a feeble person leave here without strength in her body, Lord. Father, if there be any among us, Lord, that would be downtrodden, that, Lord, that you would raise them up, Lord. Take them high above, Lord, as eagles would fly, Lord, above their problems, Lord. Lord, you're a great and mighty God, and we're just blessed people and a humble people by the mercies that you show us. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, just break the bread of life to us, Lord. Give us strength in our bodies, Lord, that we can go a little further in this journey, Lord, until you're that great day when you come to receive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to do the 38th chapter of Psalm. That's 3:8. We'll read from 1 to 11 this morning. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure.
For thy mercy has been in me, and thy hand presses me sore.
There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, and neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin.
For mine iniquities are all
my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness.
I am troubled, and I am bowed down greatly. I will mourn all day long.
For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh.
I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the distractions of my heart.
Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. God bless you. Please be seated.
Brother Lauren has a special for us this morning. I ask him to come. And
well, I'm going to stand up today. I think I can stand by the grace of God. Brother Nathan, in his sermon last week, mentioned something that brought something to my mind, a little chorus that I thought would be good, and I mentioned it to him, and he said, why don't you sing it next Sunday? I said, well, it's just a little chorus, and that would be something that maybe the whole congregation would enjoy singing. Now, this is a little song, by the way. I don't know the key. I'll just start it, and you have to do with it. But it's just a little chorus, just a little fun chorus, and I'll sing it and see what happens. He said something about the fact you're going down to the dumps. You don't want to go down to the dumps. No. Down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor bright. But down in the dumps I'll never go. Okay, we're gonna down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor bright. But down in the dumps I'll never go. Okay, sing it again. Down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor bright. But down in the dumps I'll never go. Where the devil keeps me low. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor. But down in the dumps I'll never go. Now that's a little chorus. You might be singing it all day long. You know, sometime during the day, when you get a little bit down or something like that, think of this little song. Down in the dumps I'll never go. So I'll sing with all my might, and I'll keep my armor down in the dumps I'll never go.
That's pretty good, isn't it? God bless Brother Lauren. Appreciate him. He's been a pillar in my life for many, many years. Watched him and Sister Barbara and their consistency for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's been a blessing to me. Brothers, if you'll come now. It's kind of hard to follow that, so we'll just take an offering. I keep following him.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love.
Morales have a song this morning? Not this morning? All right. I just wanted to ask. I wanted to hear you sing, but it's all right. Let's turn to page 166 as we get ready for the word.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Some of you don't know what you're singing about. I'm not here to rebuke you. I'm just watching and I'm thinking. When I think about when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to be acting more like Brother Jimmy was the other night than how some of you are this morning. Some of you probably don't want to, you're singing like you don't want to give up your 401k and go. But I want to go there more than I want to stay here. To me, that's what life is all about. I didn't have a life until I heard this truth and God began to reveal to me what He had in store for me. And I just don't believe that you're going to stand there that day whenever you see streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and you're going to say, "Thank you, Lord, that was really nice. I appreciate what you did." I think you're going to celebrate. I think you're going to rejoice. So let's sing it again as Brother Nathan comes, all right?
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. Hallelujah! Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Victory. Onward to the prize before us.
Well, soon those pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. shout the victory. Let's sing it again. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all sing. Oh, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning while we sing it together. Be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Oh, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Amen. I believe we got something to shout the victory about this morning. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Just want to read one verse there to begin with. But if you hold your place there in Revelation, we'll be reading several verses out of there this morning. Revelation chapter 1. I want to look at verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank you for revelation. Lord, without revelation, Lord, as we look at it this morning, we can't even recognize that we're truly saved. We can't even recognize who that you are, Father. So we thank you this morning for revelation. Lord, we thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, what the Spirit has spoke to the churches in this last day, Lord. We're so privileged. Lord, as I was telling a brother over the weekend, what a privileged people that we are to even have a love for the truth when there's so many walking away, but yet you've given us something down in our heart that we didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it, but Father, you gave us a love for the truth, and I'm so thankful for that this morning, that I don't have to work it up or figure it out, but Lord, that it just comes automatically. There's something about this word that I just love it, Father. Lord, not because I had done anything that I could deserve it, but because you looked down and you chose me. Lord, that you would look down through time and you would choose the brothers and sisters that are sitting here this morning. Lord, what a privileged people that we are. Lord, help us never to take it for granted, Father. Oh, Lord, let it never become a common thing to us. But Lord, may that love for the word just continue to grow, that love for the truth in our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you this morning. You can be seated. I want to look at this thought for a little while on the importance of revelation. And we look at this book of Revelations many times, and usually when a brother goes to preach out of this book, it's going to be some great deep mystery or doctrine that he's going to try to show. But I just want to try with the help of the Lord to show you something very simple this morning, and that's just how important that revelation really is to us. And Brother Branham says it this way in the Church Age book, page 13, and I'll be reading a lot from the Church Age book this morning. I hope you don't mind. Brother Branham said that it was a message from his heart to the hearts of the people. So I believe every word of it. I've read it from cover to cover, and I've never found anywhere that contradicts the rest of the message, and I don't believe he would put his signature on anything that would. So we believe that it just fits dovetailed right in with the rest of the message, and I know there's some brothers that disagree with that, but as Brother Branham said about Brother Jackson, he said, well, that's his problem. He said, you know, Brother Jackson wanted to just let everybody speak in tongues as many times as they wanted and do all that, and he said, he's doing that over there. He said, that's his problem. So if they don't want to believe this, that's their problem, but I don't want to shut out any part of the word that God would give us. I want to believe it all and accept it all, because if God gave us something in the word, it was for our benefit. And if there's something in the word that we would reject, the Bible says, you know, there's a curse that's put on those that either try to add to it or try to take away from it. So we don't want to add to or take away this morning. We just want to just give a little remembrance of how blessed we are to have revelation in this age. He says it this way in the Church Age book, page 13. He said, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. So if you feel like I'm emphasizing it over and over and over this morning and you get tired of it, just remember he said, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. He said, now I'm not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It's tremendously important to the church. Now, verse 3, two verses down from where we read just a brief little bit ago, it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So then in the days of old, when this was being given to John, Brother Branham teaches us in the Church Age book and also in the Church Age series when he preached it, that John wasn't actually the author of this book of Revelation, but that John was just a scribe that was writing what he saw. And this is the only book of the Bible, he said, that is personally written by Jesus Christ himself in the first person there. And he comes down and he gives this to John through his angel, and John's seeing these things as a scribe, he begins to write them down. Now, the people in that age, many of them, even Peter the apostle, he was ignorant and unlearned. Brother Branham said he might not have hardly been able to sign his name, but yet there was something about it. They had a love for the word. Now, there would be others that could read it to them, and so this in the scripture here, many times it was in languages that they couldn't understand, and many of them spoke Aramaic or spoke Greek, and much of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And so maybe they couldn't even read this in their own language, but yet there would be somebody that could get up and translate it for them and read it to them in their own language. So the Spirit speaking to John here in Revelation said, blessed is he that readeth, but if you can't read, then they that hear the words are blessed too. But it's not just enough to hear it or to read it, but to keep those things which are written therein, for the time is short at hand. Now, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away their part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, Brother Branham breaks into this thought in the Church Age book again, page 16. He said it's the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. You mean we have authority over the devil? That's what he said. He said, we don't have any power. He said, you see a little policeman go out there and maybe a car that weighs 2 or 3 tons come down through there, and maybe he weighs 98 pounds and doesn't have enough power to hardly stop one rubber wheel rolling down the road, but he gets out there and he stands in front of that vehicle and he raises up his badge, and it's not his power that stops the vehicle, it's his authority that's behind the badge. We don't have any power. So there's many times I get up here and feel like I can't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. It's not my power. It's not my might, but it's His Spirit, saith the Lord. And we don't have any power over the devil. I don't have power. I know there's brothers that go around and claim, oh, I've got power. And did you feel it in my hand? And did you feel this? And I got power to cast out this. And I got power to do that. Brother Branham said, we don't have any power, but what we do have is authority. And the only way that you can recognize that you have authority is when you recognize your place in the Word of God, and that takes a revelation. So he says it's the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why they who would add or take from it would be cursed. It would have to be so, for who could add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It's that simple. There's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word.
All right.
Now, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, when they began to go and they begin to cook the meal, and the prophet Elisha had told them, he said, you know, to go and cook some porridge for the people that was there. It was during a time of drought, and they didn't have a lot of food. It was a famine. And he told them, he said, go and gather some things to make this porridge. And so they got this big pot, and they began to put it in. But there was a man, Brother Bram said, he didn't know the difference between between herbs and wild gourds. And he goes out there, and he goes to pick these wild gourds and put them in. And a man that was cooking the meal there, he turns around to Elisha and he said, there's death in the pot. Now, it wasn't that there was anything wrong with the words of Elisha. Elisha had told him what to do and he had told him what to get. But the problem was that this man had went and tried to put something into the recipe that wasn't part of what was in the original word of God as he spoke through the mouth of Elisha. It wasn't that there was a problem with the prophet. It wasn't that there was a problem with the word. It wasn't that there was a problem with the recipe. What became the problem was when they began to add something in that wasn't part of the original recipe. It added death into the pot. It'll be the very same thing when you begin to add your man-made ideas into the Word of God, or when you try to bring your denominational traditions, or what mommy taught you or daddy taught you, or how grandpa and grandma did it. When you try to bring that in and add it to the message, it'll add death to the pot. I don't need anybody's man-made revelation or anybody's legalistic doctrine added into the message. That'll just add death. But the Word in its purity brings forth life. He says it's the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. Again, on page 16, he says, yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it.
Amen.
With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them.
Amen.
Amen. I've got to take this off.
Satan hates revelation, but we love it.
Right.
With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. You say, well, why is it, Brother Nathan, that there's so many falling away, and why is it that there's so many coming against and attacking the message? When, oh my, they could sit and explain it, and they knew the serpent seed, and they knew the Godhead, and oh yes, but it was an intellectual conception.
Right.
Satan has that. The Bible said Satan believes and he trembles, but yet it's just an intellectual conception. He doesn't have a revelation of the Word.
Right.
Oh my, he says again in the revelation of Jesus Christ in 1960, he said, now the Greek word for revelation is the apocalypse, which means the unfolding. And I was taking that word and searching it. It means the apocalypse is to, like a sculptor has made a great statue and he's got it covered by a veil. And then he goes and he tears back this veil and reveals what he has behind the veil. It's an uncovering. So a revelation is something that was previously hid and it was previously veiled to the eyes, spiritually or physically, whichever way it would be. But yet there's something that comes along and it begins to take the veil off of that, and you begin to see it's an uncovering, it's an unfolding, it's a revealing. And the revelation of the
Word of God, when the message came and we begin to see it, and maybe you had looked through a veil of titles, or maybe you had looked through a veil of denominational ideas, or maybe you had looked through a veil of what your grandmother taught, or maybe you had looked through a veil of what some legalistic pastor had tried to present to you of, oh, you've got to go through these motions and you've got to go through that, and you would try to look through the Word through this veil, as Paul said, now we look through a glass darkly, but then a prophet of God came on the scene and the veil was torn off of the thing. And we don't have to look through some man-made veil anymore to try to figure it out, but it's been exposed before our eyes. We don't need somebody else to come and reveal it again. He already revealed the Word. We just need people that can get a revelation to believe it and live it for themselves. Now this word, apocalypse, it's a Greek word, and it's used in St. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 32. It says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now this word light is a Greek word that's phos, which means that which is exposed to the view of all openly, publicly. The power of understanding, especially moral and spiritual truth. But this word lighten, even though the word used here is the English word lighten, when you go to that Greek word, it's the apocalypse, which means to be revealed, to disclose of truth, instruction concerning things before unknown. Used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all manifestation appearance. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 8 verse 19, he uses this same Greek word, yet a different English word is used when he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. This word manifestation is that same Greek word of apocalypse, that it's waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. It's waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And let me just say this morning, it's manifesting time. Amen. And maybe the veil has been over people's lives for many, many years, and they sat right beside you in a pew and they looked like a Christian, they acted like a Christian, and they looked like a wheat, but yet the veil began to be pulled back and you recognized it wasn't wheat, but it was shuck, and the shuck began to pull away from the wheat. What was it? It was an unveiling, an unfolding to show what was there. But yet there were others maybe sitting there, and maybe you'd looked at their lives, and maybe they was an old drunk or a prostitute or some kind of a guy that would go out and gamble or try to rob somebody of their money or would try to pull some kind of shady business deal, and you would look at him in the pew beside you and shake your head and say, he'll never amount to be anything. But yet one day the Holy Spirit begin to come down and that veil of flesh was ripped back to expose that these things that were going on in their lives was just a lie of the devil in their life, and they got a revelation, there's something better for me than this. Amen. There's a better life to be had than this. And once they got that revelation, even though they were veiled with all kinds of bitterness and stickiness and all kinds of human errors and flaws, once they got a revelation, it unfolded what was down on the inside. Amen. Brother Bram said in the Church Age book, he said, you was never a pig that was made into a sheep, neither were you ever a buzzard that was made into an eagle, but if you're a sheep, you was a sheep to begin with. Amen. Oh my, no preacher came and made you an eagle. I don't want to scare you this morning, but even the message of the hour didn't make you an eagle. What the message of the hour did was showed you that you were an eagle. Amen. It took that eagle scream for you to recognize, wait a minute, I've been trying to cluck like they've clucked all my life. And it never did sound right. But then Papa Eagle began to fly over and scream through the mouth of his prophet. And you recognized, wait a minute, that sounds a little bit more right. That sounds a little more familiar. The message didn't make you an eagle. It showed you that you were an eagle. It gave you a revealing and unfolding to recognize, to have eyes to see what God had predestinated you to be from before the foundation of the world. I'm glad I heard an eagle scream in this age. Oh my, the clucking of the denominations could never satisfy us. The clucking of man-made ideas and legalistic patterns and things that we would have to try to fit somebody's mold, it could never fit us. But when the eagle began to scream, we recognize there's something in me that's responding to that from eternity. Not because it came and changed you into an eagle, but because you had been an eagle all along. Hallelujah. It just took something to open up your eyes to reveal it to you. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. If you're a son of God, you was always a son of God. Right. Brother Bram said you wasn't saved on any certain night. You was saved before the foundation of the world. But what happened is one night you was listening to a tape or listening to an anointed preacher or somebody was singing a song and got under the anointing and it just seemed like something in your heart. You just had to run to an altar somewhere. You wasn't saved then. It was just unfolded to you that you were already saved. Amen. That the trial of your faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, being much more precious than that of gold, perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe we've seen it in this age. Denominations had tried to get us to look at him as a third person of the Trinity. Oh, we had him as a little errand boy, and we had the Holy Ghost as a mascot, and we had Father God as some great judge that would look down with folded arms and a frown on his face, and he would judge us, but then Jesus would come and atone for us, and then the Holy Spirit would help us out, and we had it all confused and divided because of man-made traditions that started from a Catholic idea way back in the early 300 and something A.D., and they had begun to inject these things into the true Word of God and to add to and to take away. But then a prophet of God came in our day, and he didn't have to bring anything new, but what he did was he unveiled what was already there before the people's eyes. He didn't come with something to tell us to do away with our Bibles. He came to restore us back to what our Bible had already said, but it had been perverted and watered down and confounded by men who tried to inject their ideas into it. But then a prophet came and tore the veil off of the Word and said, "This is what it said." Amen. I thank God for it, that we've recognized the revealing of Jesus Christ in our age. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we think of that as, you know, the second coming, when he's going to come and catch the bride away. But this word again is the apocalypse, waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the unfolding, the expression of what he really was. Oh, I thank God that we've recognized it in this age. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. How is it many times you can get 20 preachers, you know, everybody likes to pick on preachers, so we'll pick on them first. How is it you can get 20 of them in a room and you ask them, what do you believe Brother Branham meant about so-and-so? And they might give you 20 different answers. Mm-hmm. Every one of them has a doctrine or a tongue or a revelation or an interpretation. How can they be so vastly different? And then yet all claim to be coming right through what Malachi 4 said. Well, let's not just put it all on the preachers. Let me get 20 of you. Or 5 from this church and 5 from that church and 5 over here and 5 over there and get you in a room. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to realize when you talk about the word long enough, there'll be one of you that believes the doctrine this way and one of you that hath the revelation this way and one of you that sees it this way and one of you that sees it a little different and one of you that's looking for this and one of you that's looking for that. Why is it? It's because we haven't been careful many times to throw out all of our I thinks and it might be and brother so-and-so taught it this way and go back to what the original unveiling said.
Amen.
When in the Corinthian church, here Paul is teaching to this young church and they're kind of an immature church. They were still dealing with a lot of things, carnal things and things of the flesh and sins of the flesh. And he comes in and he's trying to teach them. And he couldn't teach them up where he taught the Ephesians and up where he taught the Galatians about predestination and about the adoption of sons and some of those things. So he's trying to just set things in order, trying to set the gifts and the ministries and things in order. And he said, then when I come in among you, this brother's got this doctrine, and this brother's got this revelation, and this brother's got this psalm, and this brother's got this interpretation, and all these different things. Why is it? Brother Branham said in the Church Age book in page 156, he said, those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation. So when you see a brother come around and say, nobody teaches this but me, you better be careful. Oh, nobody's preaching this doctrine but me. Oh, okay, that raises some red flags then. Nobody sees it like I see it. Uh-oh. Or when there's a group that says their collective revelation, oh, you've got to come through our group. We believe this doctrine this certain way, and you've got to come through our group. We see the thunders this way, or we see the Godhead this way, or we see this way, or that way, and you've got to come through our collective group revelation of it. That's contrary to what the Word of God said. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation. He says, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Amen. So if you're receiving and hearing something, and you come up with some doctrine that's not in the message, and that no other message preacher is teaching, and that nobody else believes or sees like you do, there's a problem. Because we don't receive our own personal private revelation, nor does a church or a group receive their own group collective revelation, but we receive revelation as the prophet received it from God. And when we begin to look at it and we see it's not contrary to what was spoken through the Bible, but it dovetails perfectly right along with it. Amen. If you stay with the original recipe. Now, when you begin to add, oh, my, but I had a dream, and I had a thought, and I had an idea, and I think it's going to be this way, I think the rapture is going to be that way, and I think the resurrection is going to be this way, and I think Brother Branham meant this, and I think Brother Branham said that probably, you know, he probably believed it this way, and I think if he was here, he'd do it this way, and all these different things. When you begin to add all of that in, and it's your own private interpretation, it's contrary to the Word of God. Amen. I'm not here to present something new to you. I'm here to point you back to what he already taught us. Amen. My dad sat down with a couple of men a while back at a table. They said they were going to go up, you know, above the eyes into the conscience. You know, they thought they were higher than the prophet. Some of them tried to get up there in the conscience, and they really did all right. They lost their mind up there in the conscience. And now they believe a lie because they got up there and tried to get beyond the prophet, and they got confused and they got deceived. And he took a pen and a paper and he laid it right in front of them on the table. He said, I want you to write down one thing, one new doctrine, one new revelation that you've had since they put him in the ground in 1965. And they left it blank. Didn't have anything. Nothing that they could pin down that was worthwhile that had been revealed to them since he went in the ground in 1965. No new revelations. But yet they walked away from it. Walked away to what? To a woman preacher or to a denomination or to the world? No, I've seen too much to go back now. I can stand like Peter and say, where would I go? Where would I go? Would I go sit under some Trinitarian preacher or some short-wearing, bobbed-haired woman preacher try to tell me how to live my life? No, I don't have the stomach for that. No, I couldn't handle that. Right. Where am I going to go? Back out to the pit where God dragged me out of and get drunk and think I'm somebody and that I'm bigger and better than somebody and that I can beat up somebody? Oh, my, I wouldn't go back to that for all the money in the world. Amen. Why would you trade what God has given us in this age for some phony? Why would you trade what God has given us in this age for some impersonation of the real? I don't need an impersonation. We have the real in this age. Amen. Each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. You say, well, Brother Nathan, that must do away with preachers then. No, because if you go and you listen to what he said, he put preachers in. He never took them out. He put them in. He ordained them. He set them up. He put them in their place. And their place wasn't above the prophets. Acts chapter 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. He's talking about the eunuch here. They're sitting there. And he's translated, as we were talking in my office this morning, Brother Hoover and my dad talking about how he'd been translated. Now, this man had been preaching to a revival of thousands of people in Samaria. And it was the first time since the woman at the well that people were beginning to receive the gospel in Samaria. And he's preaching to crowds of thousands, having a great revival. And the Spirit catches him away to one person. Well, there's not a lot of preachers that would leave crowds of thousands to go and preach to one person of a different race on top of it. Here he goes and sends him to this eunuch of Ethiopia. And he's sitting there and he's reading the prophet Isaiah. It says, and Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now we get into such a scary territory with this verse if you don't find balance on it. Because if you do away with this verse and say, I don't need nobody to guide me, Brother Branham said, then why did the Holy Spirit send gifts in the church to teach? Why did he send a teacher if you don't need nobody to teach you? But if we lean too hard on this, then we feel like I've got to have somebody come and explain to me what Brother Branham said before I can catch the revelation. What a tricky balance that it is to be on this scripture in the way that it was truly meant. Now, I want us to try to look at this and find some balance in the Word of God on this. How can I understand what I read except some man should guide me? Now, the Church Age book, page 156, Brother Branham says, the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who, they stop right there many times. Oh, see, God sends it on through the ministry of others. Bless God. Who have been faithfully taught. But of course, he says, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. To speak only what the... So you say, well, Brother Nathan, does that mean you've got to get up and read verbatim what Brother Branham spoke to speak only what he spoke? No. If that was the truth, then he could only get up and read the scripture to speak only what the scripture said. But he got up and he put together other paragraphs. We'll put it that way. He said other phrases that you'll never find in the scripture, but you'll never find it contradicting the scripture because he said only what the word said. This message dovetails perfectly together with the word. And when a minister gets up and begins to preach, he should be careful that what he's trying to express to the people doesn't contradict anything that the messenger said. We would be in a lot better place as far as people around the message if more brothers had stuck with that formula. He says, and who do you say this is, 1964? When I hear these fine young fellows testifying of their faith that's centered in Christ, and I'm getting old and one day I've got to quit and go home and see these young fellows coming on who's ready and preparing themselves to pick up where I leave off. And that's the way we do. That's the way life is laid out. Now, you may not have known he said that, but he said that. These young fellows coming on who's ready and preparing themselves to pick up where I leave off. Oh, does that mean there's going to be young men that's going to pick up and with the seventh church age messenger and they're going to be the seventh church age messenger? Absolutely not. That's contrary to what he taught us, because in the church age book he said he declared that there was only one church age messenger to each age. There was only one seventh church age messenger. And he said that in the voice... Not in the voices, not in the days of the voices, but in the days of the voice when he, singular, should begin to sound, the mystery of God should be revealed. But yet, when he was going off the scene, there were going to be brothers that would pick up where he left off, not to bring something new, but so that the message could keep going. Not to add something to it, not to take something from it, but to keep it before the people. Amen. Things that are to be 1965, as I'm beginning to get old and I know that my days are numbered and I'm coming. I know now that these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord if he doesn't come in my generation. This was what he was teaching us. But many have taken this and they've said, well, We're going to pick up where he left off, and you know, we're going to tell the people when he was inspired and when he wasn't inspired, and we're going to tell them when he was anointed and when he wasn't anointed, and we're going to tell them when he was right and when he was wrong, and when it was thus saith the Lord and when it was thus saith, wasn't thus saith the Lord. There isn't a man on the face of the earth that's going to get up and tell me when he was anointed and when he wasn't anointed, and when he was inspired and when he wasn't inspired, and when he was right and when he wasn't right. When this was a vindicated message. This was a vindicated message. Well, I know there's brothers that just hammer and hammer and hammer on what they think are mistakes. Oh my. Brother Branham said, you know, he said he was talking about numerical things and how he got 700 and 7,000 mixed up. He said, I make those kind of mistakes all the time. I don't have no problem with that. If you have a problem with that, you won't like listening to me or Brother Layton or Brother Hoover very long, because we make those mistakes way more than he did. Because we're still in this. And our brain doesn't have total recall. It doesn't have perfect memory. And sometimes we'll quote a scripture and it won't be just exactly right. You say, oh my, you must be Antichrist. You better be careful. You go back and read some of the scriptures Brother Branham quoted. There was many times he didn't quote it word for word exactly the same, but he never changed the meaning of it to the people. Amen. I've come too far for all that garbage to see a man get up and say, well, he was anointed over here and he wasn't anointed over there, and it was thus saith the Lord over here and it wasn't thus saith the Lord. Who are you to say? Amen. Who anointed you to say? Because I never find in the scripture or the message any place where God anointed a man to come around and correct the prophet of God.
Amen.
There was Joshua. Brother Branham called him the greatest military leader that had ever been on the face of the earth. There he stood there side by side with Moses. And when Moses went out the scene, he didn't come around and say, now, folks, I got a few things we need to straighten out here. You know, Moses was a man, and you know, he killed that man in Egypt, and it got him in trouble. And then he went down, God told him to speak to the rock, and he smote it instead. And you know, that's why he couldn't come over with us into the promised land. I just want to correct a few of these mistakes that the prophet had made. You'll never find that in the book of Joshua anywhere, because Joshua wasn't qualified to come around and correct the prophet's mistakes. And I don't care how anointed the minister, or how inspired, or how well known, or how much money he has in his checking account. There's no prophet, priest, or king, or monarch, or anybody else that is qualified to come around and correct Malachi 4. Now, if he corrected it, praise the Lord. Amen. I can say amen to that. But if he didn't correct it, you better leave it alone, or you'll be guilty of adding to and taking away. Acts chapter 22, verse 10. Paul is accounting of his conversion here. Now, I want you to watch this, because Philip just spoke to this Ethiopian eunuch, and the man asked him, how can I understand the word of God unless some man should guide me? If we're not careful, we'll lean so heavily on this that we'll think revelation has to come through some man. Acts chapter 22, verse 10. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Now, he's retelling this account that actually took place in Acts chapter 9. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, this is the conversion of the messenger of the age. And God didn't bypass and just send an angel and say, I'm going to show you how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to be baptized and how to do all these things. Because Brother Branham said it always comes through the body somewhere. Right. And even though it was a light that struck him down on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And got his attention. Now he sends him back, and he sends another prophet of God by his way. And he tells him, you wait there, and this man is going to come and show you what you should do. Now, in verse 17, Ananias went his way, And he entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in thy way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So God, using a member of the body of Christ to bring his messenger into this, to pray for him for his healing, to baptize him, and now he receives the Holy Ghost. So did he receive his revelation through Ananias? Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This wasn't Ananias' revelation. This wasn't some man-made revelation. This wasn't some carnal thing. God used a man, used a member of the body of Christ to be instrumental in his conversion. But he didn't get his revelation from Ananias. It wasn't Ananias that healed him. It wasn't Ananias that filled him with the Holy Ghost. But yet God using human instrumentality. Why, Brother Nathan? Because that's how he's always done it. And that's how he will always do it. That doesn't bypass the message. That doesn't bypass the Bible. That doesn't bypass God. But it had to come across your path somehow. Somebody handed you a book or a tape or told you about what God was doing in this hour. It came through the body somewhere. Amen. But you don't look back to that man and say, oh, I thank you for that revelation that you gave me. The revelation never came from then. Because there's been many. I was telling Brother Hoover this morning, my dad's probably passed out more life storybooks than about anybody that I know, because he's constantly in homes and doing work and things, and he'll strike up a conversation. If they seem like they're accepting at all, he'll hand them a church or a life storybook, and then he'll come back and get a stack more from me and go out and give some more. And that's wonderful. But he can't give them a revelation. And I believe when he gets across the river, there'll be some people standing there. I don't know if it'll be 3 or 30 or 300. They'll be standing there. And they'll say, if you hadn't gave me that book, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. Amen. If you hadn't done that, there'll be people that'll be standing across the river. And maybe you'll get over there and you say, oh, that's my coworker from back in 1998. What are you doing here? If you hadn't lived that life in front of me, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. Amen. It comes through the body. But you can't give them a revelation. If you could, everybody would be saved. We'd be giving it to everybody we could. Here's you a revelation, Brother Layton, Brother Joshua. Here's a revelation, and Sister Savannah and Sister Jeannie. And oh, here's you a revelation, this revelation. You can't give anybody a revelation. You know, I get really nervous and upset around Easter and Christmas, because I recognize that there's going to be people here that many of them, maybe they're on the fence whether they believe the message or not. Or maybe some of them are family members that have never heard anything about this message, and you convince them to come along for Christmas or for Easter with you. And I'm under the weight of that, knowing that I've got to try to present something to them to shine a little bit of light. And I get so nervous and tore up about it. But the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, don't think I'm saying some fantastic or something this morning. But the Lord spoke to my heart over Christmas this year, and he reminded me, you can't save them. I can't save anybody. I can't give anybody a revelation. I can get up here and preach my heart out and do everything that I can. I can pray and seek God what tapes to play and what guest ministers to have and what to do with the services and things, but I can't save one person. I can't give one person a revelation. But what God can do is use me and the other minister brothers and the tape and your lives that you live. He can use those to impact somebody, to get their attention so that they can receive a revelation. Paul said, I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was standing there, and Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, oh, some say you're Elias, some say you're this one, and some say you're that, some say you're John the Baptist. He said, no, who do you say that I am? And here this ignorant, unlearned fisherman, that he had a temper, and sometimes he fished naked. You go back and read it in the Bible. Sometimes he got mad and cussed. He even walked away and denied Jesus. But he jumped to his feet and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned around and said, Peter, your mommy didn't teach you that. Your daddy didn't teach you that. Neither did the pastor or the Sunday school teacher, the song leader teach you that. Oh, you might have heard it from them, but it was my Father in heaven that gave you the revelation. Flesh and blood couldn't reveal it to you, but it was my Father within heaven. Why is it that we can preach and preach and we can play tapes and we can sing and shout and the Holy Spirit can fall and heal people and do supernatural things and even see x-rays laid out before and after of what God did? Nathan Bryant couldn't do it. David Hoover or Bill Layton or Arnie Bird couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ would do things, and some people look at it and say, oh, thank you, God, for moving in our age. And others look and say, I didn't see anything. Walk away from it. Walk away from the message. Why? It wasn't a revelation to them. The rapture in 1965. He says to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. He said faith is a revelation. Amen. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Yes. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire body. How is it that we could see one person laying and dying with cancer and wither away and wither away and wither away, and maybe anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith and read the quotes and scriptures over them, and they just keep withering away and withering away and they go. And then another one, maybe in a worse off condition than they were to begin with, lay there and somebody come in and quote a few scriptures and read something from the message and pray a little simple prayer and then walk out of their bed the next day. It was a revelation to them personally. It became more than just some preacher getting up and saying it. It became more than just words laying on a book or hearing something on a cassette. When they heard that, it didn't just stop here like it does to many and then go right out this other side. But it anchored down on the inside that when he said those words, or when that preacher preached that sermon, or when that singer sang that song, something down on the inside anchored down and said, you know what, that's not just for Brother Jimmy, or that's not just for Brother Anthony, that's for me. That's a personal revelation to me. When he was speaking about loved ones being lost and claiming them, that was for me. When he was speaking about the sick being healed, that was for me. When he was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's wonderful for Brother so-and-so, but I'm not putting it off on Brother so-and-so. It was for me. When he talked about salvation, even salvation, Brother Branham teaches us is a revelation. Not just Brother Branham. The Bible said that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ, saved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can repeat those words. The devil can repeat them. Oh, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's many Catholic priests that get up and quote it service after service. But it hasn't become a revelation to them personally unless they receive the Holy Ghost. Because they can quote what their daddy said or their mommy said or the pastor said or the prophet said or the Bible said. They can repeat it verbally, but it's not going to do them any good until it becomes a revelation to them. Patmos Vision 1960, he said, now ask God to, while we're talking on revelation, ask him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation. You can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. You say, oh, I thought we were saved by faith. Yeah, but faith is a revelation, he said. You said, oh, I thought we were saved by the blood. No, he said, the blood never saves you. You were saved by faith. That's what Paul said. He said, it's the blood that keeps you. It's the blood that keeps you. Church Age Book, page 30. He says, if revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God for it. That's the only way you're ever going to get it. I can sit and talk to you. I can preach it and I can preach it. I could lock you in a room and play tapes for you for 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just slip you meals and drinks under the door and put you in there, and you could listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. But as long as it's just up here in the intellectual, it'll never do you any good. But if you can ever let that come down and be a revelation down on the inside, it'll do more than just give you a revelation or give you a revealing of mysteries. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you treat people, even your spouse and your children, if it's a revelation from God. Church Age Book, page 31, he says, "No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them." We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. Amen. We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. But it's still not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. The Word has not been quickened. How is it that you can run into so many message people and when they want to talk about their little pet doctrine, whatever it is, their favorite thing, they can get so excited and so worked up, but you begin to share them some other things that he taught and they begin to get very mad and very defensive. Why is it? They got a carnal and intellectual conception of this one doctrine that they rally around or whatever it is, their favorite thing. But when it comes to some of the rest of the world, you begin to share with them, they get so upset and so worked up. Why? It hasn't been revealed to them. It's maybe been taught to them. They maybe learned it. They maybe heard it. But when it comes to a revelation, you won't just take a revelation and say, you know, I just want this part. I'll take my favorite part and my favorite quotes and my favorite tapes, and we're just gonna. That's not a revelation. Brother Graham said that's picking and choosing what you want to. Amen. But when it becomes a revelation, you don't want just your favorite parts. You want to say, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I want the whole world. Not just part of the word. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. The word has to be quickened, he said. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. He said, did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God himself. Amen. By being in Christ. Now, maybe when that alarm went off this morning, you may not have felt like the very righteousness of himself. Maybe when your wife burnt your favorite shirt ironing it, or maybe when the children spilled big red over your favorite pair of jeans, or maybe when the something like that happened, maybe you didn't feel like the very righteousness of himself, of God himself, by being in Christ. But God's not looking at that. In fact, he's not even looking at you. He's looking at the blood. Amen. That's been applied. If it's been applied by revelation, you can't just get up and quote some words and say, well, the pastor said that I was saved and that I was kept by the blood and all these different things. That's wonderful to have an intellectual conception of it, but that's not enough. It has to become a personal revelation to you. Amen. He says, now we know the Bible says that. It can't be denied, but the revelation of it is missing. It's not real to the majority of God's children. It's just a good verse in the Bible. But we need to have it made alive to us. That will take revelation. You see this morning why we need to cry out to God for revelation more than anything else. I can't imagine sitting and hearing the word and enjoying the word and reading the word and seeing all the great things that we've seen in our days and then get over there and God say, I don't know who you are, depart from me. But Lord, I listened to all these tapes and I read all these books and I attended all these services and I heard the pastor preach some incredible sermons. We had some incredible healings and I witnessed to my neighbor and I did this and I did that. Yeah, but it was never a revelation to you. You were just going through the motions because that's what so-and-so said you should do, because that's how mommy and daddy had raised you, or that's what the pastor told you needed to do. Hey, that's all right. That makes good citizens and things like that, but that won't get you into heaven. It takes a revelation. It takes more than just memorizing the word. It has to become alive in you. Oh my, how we need to cry for revelation more than anything else in the world, he said. The word has to be quickened. You know, I've been privileged. I don't have a photographic memory like some of these brothers around the message do, but God's blessed me with a pretty decent memory that some of the minister brothers, they'll text me every once in a while, ask me, where's this quote and where's that quote? And it makes me feel good to know that they have confidence in me like that, that they could pull on the gift in that type of way. But as good as that is, and as nice as that is, and how I appreciate them having confidence in me in that way, and as much as I appreciate God giving me the ability to be able to do that, if that's all that it is, my computer can do that. Right. My phone can do that. But my computer and my phone aren't going to take a rapture. My bookshelf isn't going to take a rapture. And the people that are sitting there, even though maybe they've memorized more than you or I have, even maybe though they can go through the motions, and they attend church more regularly than you do, and maybe they've listened to more tapes than you do, and maybe they've gone through all the motions. If going through every motion that we think is required to be a Christian is all that is required, then Jesus died in vain. Because he can give us a list of motions to go through. But there's something about it that when it becomes a revelation to you, it's just like your spouse, maybe some of your wives, maybe you hate washing dishes, or maybe you hate ironing clothes, or maybe there's something in your life that you hate to do, but there's something about it that you love your husband so much that you do that for him. Why? Because that you love him. Now, if it's not a revelation to you that he's your husband and that you really truly love him, then you're just going through it as a legalistic thing. Oh, I better iron this, or he's going to complain and pitch a fit, or oh my, I better wash these dishes, or I'll never hear the end of it. That's not a revelation. That's legalism. That's how many people serve God. Oh my, I better listen to a tape today, and I better read my Bible, and I better pray, because if I don't, Brother Bram said, you know, if you don't read your Bible and pray, you're not a Christian. Lord, I guess I better do it because I sure want to be a Christian. That's legalism. You should do it because you love him so much you want to stay in his word.
Amen.
It should be a revelation to you that it's not just that we're going through motions so that we can try to inherit enough credits to get into the kingdom, and God get up there and say, oh my, look at how many verses you read in 2016. And look at how many tapes that you listened to in 2016. And oh my, look how many times, Brother Nathan, that you prayed for the sick in 2016. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. If that's all it takes, then the Pharisees and Sadducees had us all beat by a million miles. Because they were going through the motions of the word perfectly. But when the word came in flesh, it wasn't a revelation to them. And they failed to see it. God, let it be a revelation to us this morning.
Amen.
Not just to going through the motions and acts and works and all these different things, but may it be made alive in us, a revelation to us personally. I know I'm past my time this morning. The musicians would come. God, may it never just be a handbook or a set of rules to us, but may it be a living reality. Brother Branham said at the end of the church age book there, he said he didn't come to create just an organization for himself or a lot of things like that. But he said what he came to do was to establish a relationship between individuals and Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what this should be about. Amen. Not to lift myself up or Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, Brother Arnie, any of these brothers. They're wonderful brothers. I want to give them as much of a pat on the back as I can. You know, we should give credit where credit is due and appreciate their ministries. But we're not here to lift them up. I appreciate these musicians. They're very talented. For the size church we have, I can say it not because they're sitting here. I honestly feel that way. I believe we have some of the most talented musicians for a church this size that I've ever seen around the message. But we're not here to lift them up. My deacons and my trustees and my Sunday school teachers, they're doing an incredible job. But I didn't come here this morning to lift them up. We came to lift Jesus Christ up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. If we can lift him up before the people. You say, Brother Nathan, well, if that's true, why don't we talk about Brother Branham so much? And why do we talk about the message so much? Because Christ is the Word. And not just on the page, but the Word made flesh.
Amen.
We had a prophet in our age that was the Word made flesh. You say, what do you mean, Brother Nathan? Well, he manifested Revelations 10:7, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Luke 17, 30. He was the Word made flesh.
Right.
Amen. I'm not ashamed to talk about him. I'm not ashamed to have his picture up on my wall or have his books on my shelves. I'm proud of those things. I thank God for eyes to see it and ears to hear it in this age.
Amen.
Amen. We don't try to lift him up above Jesus Christ, but we sure glorify the God that revealed these things through him. I thank God for revelation.
I thank God to be able to see these things in this age when there's so many wondering about. We'd give anything to have some of the things that we have, to know some of the things that we know. If they could just yield themselves to really get a revelation of it. There are people, I was telling some of them in Minnesota about the presence of the Lord coming Sunday night, how it did. And we'd played the tape, Is Anything Too Hard for God? And the presence of the Lord just kept falling in the service over and over and over again, bathing over the people. I thought, there's people that haven't ever experienced things like that. Maybe they've gone to church their entire life. Even some of them in churches claiming to be message churches have sat there and they've heard things taught and they've seen many preachers get up and do wonderful things and they've maybe seen some incredible things, but never really sat in a presence like that to just feel the presence of God bathing over them and over them and over them. What a privileged people that we are. That doesn't make me anything or any of these brothers anything. It makes Him everything. That He would be mindful of us enough to spend a little time with us. When we get so busy and it seems like it's so hard for us to spend time with Him, but yet He would take time out of His busy schedule to come and spend time with us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privileged people that we are. I thank God for revelation to see these things. I thank God for revelation to see that this man was the Word made flesh. But it's not enough just to stop there. There were people in Moses' day that recognized that he was a prophet of God with the pillar of fire following him. And they still didn't make it all the way. They begin to murmur and they begin to complain. And they believe God sent a prophet. It's not just enough to recognize that he was the Word made manifest. You have to be revealed to you that you're the Word made manifest. When he says, all you that are labor and heavy laden, you say, that's me, Lord. All you that are weak and are heavy laden, come unto me. You say, oh, that's me. Whosoever will, let him come. Oh, that's me, Lord. All the Spirit and the bride say, come, that's me, Lord. It has to be a revelation to you that you're fulfilling that part of the word. Oh, come and see, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride hath made herself ready. That's me, Lord. Oh, I may not be there yet, Lord, but I'm making myself ready. When he says that she's got to be perfect, he said, how can we be perfect? Brother Bram said, how can any of us be perfect? He said, it's not our perfectness, it's his perfectness. I can say, that's me, Lord. You're made perfect through my weakness. It's not me that's perfect. It's him that's perfect working through us. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's sing this together. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? We've got something to be happy about this morning. I've accepted the word. Oh, it was revealed to me. How was it? The revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Oh, can't you see? Oh, I'm so happy. Yes, Lord. For I've accepted the word of the Lord. Lord, it's the revealed word. Oh, that was spoken by the prophet of mankind. Oh, as they play that softly this morning, I'm reminded of Brother Mayfield, Brother Layton's father-in-law, who was there and he handed that man a book. That man came back and he said, don't you ever give me one of those again. He said, why on earth? He said, that man in that book called me a buzzard. He said, oh my, that's so strange, because that man in that book called me an eagle. What was it? It was revealed to one of them who they were by the word. And it was revealed to another who he was by the word. There's something about it. Sometimes it blinds the eyes of some. It opens the eyes of others. But the word, it does something. It helps us recognize who we are. I'm thankful for eyes to see it. I'm thankful that a message came. That an eagle screamed and we recognized we weren't a buzzard or a chicken. Crow, but we were an eagle. There was something in it. There was a deep that responded to that deep that was calling.
Oh, if you have that privilege this morning, you ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth to recognize that He called your name from before the foundation of the world. He spoke and He predestinated you to hear some of these things that prophets and sages of old longed to hear and to sit under and to see. We've been privileged to have in our age. Oh, what a blessed people we are. Let's sing it again together. Let's stand. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, you ought to be happy this morning. Can't you see why the bride is happy? Oh, it's been revealed to us. We've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Amen. Just keep playing that softly. Sister Felicia had put in a prayer request for some of her co-workers. It says, please pray for Lauren Toole. She has cancer and can't eat or drink anything and is dehydrated. And also, Carice O'Brien, her dad died Friday. Amen. We want to remember these prayer requests. We know God still heals cancer. He's still Jehovah Jireh. Oh, my. Let's just bow our heads a moment, if you would. How many slip up your hands? Just say, Brother Nathan, I'm so thankful for revelation. I'm so thankful that God has given me this revelation this age. Amen. Maybe somebody else slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I don't know. I've been taught the word. I've heard the word, but it just hasn't been made personal to me yet. I want to raise my hand and say, Lord, I want that revelation. I want to seek revelation. I want the revelation that this is the truth in this age beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want the revelation that it's not just for somebody else, but that it's for me personally. I want the revelation that I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and that my family is sealed by the token. I want the revelation of these things to be something personal to me. It takes more than a man speaking it. It takes the Holy Spirit coming and quickening what those men spoke. What's been written in the Word, what's been spoken on the tapes, what goes forth over this pulpit. It takes a revelation from God to anchor it down. Oh, my God sees each hand. He sees each hand. He knows all about it. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for these requests. Lord, you know all about it. You know every situation, Lord, every prayer request that was mentioned. Lord, the one with cancer that's dehydrated and can't swallow liquids. Father, may your Holy Spirit move on the scene at this time. Lord, your angel came and told the prophet, said, if you can get the people to believe you, nothing will stand in the way, not even cancer. Lord, we're not the prophet, but Lord, we still serve that same God. Lord, we believe that it's still, if we can get the people to believe Him, that not even cancer will stand in the way. Not by our power, not by our might, but because the revelation of the Word has given us authority over the devil. Lord, you told us whatever we bind on earth, you'd bind in heaven. Whatever we loosed on earth, you'd loose in heaven. Father, Lord, may this sister be healed. May you touch her, begin to move on the scene. Grant healing to her body, Lord, not only her physical body, but Lord, her spiritual body as well. Lord, may Sister Felicia be such a testimony and an example to her at the job there that, Lord, she would begin to see what you've done in this age. Lord, be with each need, each request that was made known by the uplifting of the hands. Father, those that are so thankful for what you've revealed to them, those that are longing for more personal revelation in their own life, the assurance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the token of salvation, of all these things. Father, may you give it to him, Father. Lord, if there's a deep calling them to have it, Lord, I believe there's a deep responding to give it to them. May you move on the scene. Lord, for the other lady at her work, Father, that's lost a loved one, all these others that have lost loved ones recently, Lord, may you just come on the scene in comfort in a way that only you can, Father. We'll be sure to give you the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Child, you were born for this valley, but you were born for the sky. Oh, don't let these trials, don't let them get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle.
Oh, how do you know you're an eagle, Brother Nathan? It was revealed to me.
Oh, just spread your wings.
I recognize myself in the word,
little eagle. And
oh, it's got to be a personal revelation to you.
That you weren't born for these valleys, but you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials, don't let them get you down, or drive your spirit.
Oh, yes.
Help us mount up with wings, little eagle, and
oh, let's just worship him for a little while this morning.
Oh, just spread your wings.
Brother Bram said, who's this Melchizedek, 1965? He said, when you recognize that this was eagle's food, you heard from your theophany. How do you know you got one waiting for you over there, Brother Nathan? I already heard from it. I recognized that this was eagle's food that I was feasting on. Not the words of a man, but the unfailing body word of the Son of Man.
Don't let your trials, don't let them get you down or dry. Thank you.
that song, So Glad I'm Yours, Lord.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and said,
just sing that song, He is my everything, He is my all.
He is my everything, He is my all.
Yes, Lord.
He is my
thankful for the word this morning.
Amen.
My, when it comes and just washes over you, washes those old man-made ideas off of you, all those spirits that try to get a hold of you and attach themselves to you, and you can just stand clean in the presence of God and raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you wash me. Oh, my.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word
What have I done to deserve such glory as revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life, Lord. Such glory as revealed in me. Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee. And I just thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your voice one day. Oh, my, have I done to deserve such glory as revealed in me? Oh, my, 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 my. For that special night when I saw your glorious light, came face to face with eternal life. Lord, I thank you. As Nathan mentioned about that chicken down there in that, or that eagle down there in that barnyard. Just thinking of, we were just singing that chorus. It was in that Pentecostal barnyard. They said I was supposed to cluck a certain way. I couldn't cluck. I just couldn't do it. As a youth leader, people would come to the altar, they'd say, pray them through till they speak in tongues. I couldn't do it. Just there was something down inside of me said, it don't matter if they speak in tongues. If they don't live that life after they speak in tongues, what good is it? I needed to get them to Jesus Christ and get that life in them. That would change them. Then one day somebody handed me a book, think, or a tape rather, Think of Man's Filter, and I put that in my tape player, and I began to listen to it. First time I listened to it, I got all upset, because he said I didn't have the Holy Ghost, and I knew I had the Holy Ghost. I'd shouted, I'd run the aisles, I'd spoke in tongues, I knew I had the Holy Ghost. But that man on that tape said I didn't have the Holy Ghost. That man on that tape spoke exactly what I was living, Brother Jimmy. I turned it off the first time. But there was something down on the inside. Once I'd heard it, I couldn't forget it. And if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I wanted what that man on that tape was talking about. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who was sitting ahead of me or behind me or beside me. I lost track of everybody that was in the building that evening except that just the Lord Jesus Christ was there. He could have called the man behind me, but he spoke to me. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be taking so much time, but oh, with revelation. Where would I be without it? Where would you be without revelation this morning? Oh, God, he's so good to us. He called me, brothers and sisters. He called you. Millions of people on the face of this earth going to raise their hands and praise God. In a church this morning, this afternoon, millions of people. It's not that we're haughty. It's not that we look down our noses at people. But there's a group of people, and he allowed me to be part of that group of people that know who they're raising their hands to. They know who they're praising this morning. They're not praising a Trinity. They're not praising a false God. They're not praising some idea of denomination. But we're praising the one true living God who made himself real to us. And I just want to thank you.
you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. Not just in 1985, not just in 1963, but God, in 2017, sitting right over there on that pew, you let me hear your word this morning. It did something down inside of me. That special night. I know we have to go. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Eternal life. Lord, I thank thee. I won't hold you any longer. If you need to go, you're dismissed. If you want to stay in worship, feel free to. Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory as revealed in me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God, for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Face to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee. And I just want to thank you, Lord. That's what I'm here for, Lord, just to thank you. Just to let my life say praise you, Lord. Oh, what have I done, Lord, to deserve such a revelation as this? Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I saw your glorious light, came face to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee. Not even in my wildest dreams did I think I'd see such things as the coming of the Lord, the rapture mystery. I was blind, but now I see God in simple.